Grant, Lord Jesus, that my healing in your holy wounds I find. Cleanse my spirit, will and healing, heal my body, soul, and mind. When some evil thought within tempts my wayward heart to sin, work in me for its eviction, weighted by your crucifixion. If some lust in current passion rises like a fiery flood, draw me to your cross and passion, quench the fire, Lord, by your blood. Lest I to the tempter yield, let me front him with the shield. Thorn crown blood my feet displaying, sign the devil's mind dismaying. Beckoned by the world's oppression, going my body's easy road, let me turn from its suggestion to the agonizing load, which for me you did endure. Let me thus sweet thoughts endure. Lest I toil with soiled emotions, losing joy in less devotions. Where the wound is and the hurting, pour in oil and cleansing wine. Let your cross its power asserting touch my life with grace divine. Every bitter cup makes sweet, bread of comfort let me eat. For you won my soul salvation by your death for every nation. Jesus, rock of strength, my power, in your death I put my trust. When you thy death lost its power, when you rose it into dust, let your bitter agony, suffered for us, comfort me. Dying, Lord, in its protection, I have life and resurrection.
The introit on your blue bulletin. We stand. God forbid that I should boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. In him is salvation, life, and resurrection from the dead. By him we are redeemed and set at liberty. God be merciful to us and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. God, our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. God forbid that I should boast,
except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. In him is salvation, life, and resurrection from the dead. By him we are redeemed and set at liberty.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, grant us by your grace so to pass through this holy time of our Lord's Passion, that we may be sustained by the remission of our sins, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for Holy Tuesday is from the 11th chapter of Jeremiah. Now the Lord gave me knowledge of it, and I know it, for you showed me their doings. But I was like a docile lamb brought to the slaughter, and I did not know that they had devised schemes against me, saying, "Let us destroy the tree with its fruits, and let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name may be remembered no more." But, O Lord of hosts, you who judge righteously, testing the mind and the heart, let me see your vengeance on them, for to you I have revealed my cause. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled myself with fasting, and my prayer would return to my own heart. Plead my cause, O Lord, with those who strive with me. Fight against those who fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler, and stand up for my help. The epistle is from the 6th chapter of 1 Timothy. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I urge you in the sight of God, who gives life to all things, and before Christ Jesus, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep this commandment without spot, blameless, until our Lord Jesus Christ appearing. This is the word of the Lord. The tract, we stand. My clothing was sackcloth. I humbled myself with fasting, and my prayer would return to my own heart. Lord, how long will you look on? Rescue me from their destructions, my precious life from the lions. I will give you thanks in the great assembly. I will praise you among many peoples, and my tongue shall speak of your righteousness, and of your praise all the day long. The Holy Gospel according to the Passion of St. Mark, the 14th and 15th chapters.
Glory to you, O Lord.
After 2 days, it was the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by trickery and put him to death. But they said, "Not during the feast, lest there be an uproar of the people." And being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. Then she broke the flask and poured it on his head. But there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, "Why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor." And they criticized her sharply. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me, for you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do them good. But me, you do not have always. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her." Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priests to betray him to them. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. So he sought how he might conveniently betray him. Now on the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover lamb, his disciples said to him, "Where do you want us to go and prepare that you may eat the Passover?" And he sent out two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the city, and a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him. Wherever he goes in, say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says, where is the guest room in which I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' Then he will show you a large upper room, furnished and prepared. There, make ready for us." So his disciples went out and came into the city and found it just as he had said to them, and they prepared the Passover. In the evening he came with the 12. Now as they sat and ate, Jesus said, "Assuredly, I say to you, one of you who eats with me will betray me." And they began to be sorrowful and to say to him one by one, "Is it I?" And another said, "Is it I?" He answered and said to them, "It is one of the 12 who dips with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had never been born." And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. Assuredly, I say to you, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, "All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered.' But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter said to him, "Even if all are made to stumble, yet I will not be." Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you that today, even this night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." But he spoke more vehemently, "If I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And they all said likewise. Then they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." And he took Peter, James, and John with him, and he began to be troubled and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. "Stay here and watch." He went a little farther and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible that the hour might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will." Then he came and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again he went away again and prayed and spoke the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. Then he came the third time and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? It is enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hand of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." And immediately, while he was speaking, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude, with swords and clubs, came from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. Now his betrayer had given them a signal, saying, "Whomever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him and lead him away safely." As soon as he had come, immediately he went up to him and said to him, "Rabbi, Rabbi," and kissed him. Then they laid their hands on him and took him. And one of those who stood by drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Then Jesus answered and said to them, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to take me? I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. But the scriptures must be fulfilled." Then they all forsook him and fled. Now a certain young man followed him, having a linen cloth thrown around his naked body. And the young man laid hold of him, and he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked. And they led Jesus away to the high priest. And with him were assembled all the chief priests, the elders, and the scribes. But Peter followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest. And he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. Now the chief priests and all the council sought testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. For many bore false witness against him, but their testimonies did not agree. Then some rose up and bore false witness against him, saying, "We have heard him say, 'I will destroy this temple made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands.'" But not even then did their testimony agree. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, "Do you answer nothing? What is it these men testify against you?" But he kept silent and answered nothing. Again the high priest asked him, saying to him, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?" Jesus said, "I am, and you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming with the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, "What further need do we have of witnesses? You have heard the blasphemy. What do you think?" And they all condemned him to be deserving of death. Then some began to spit on him and to blindfold him and to beat him, and to say to him, "Prophesy." And the officers struck him with the palms of their hands. Now as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, "You also were with Jesus of Nazareth." But he denied it, saying, "I neither know nor understand what you are saying." And he went out on the porch, and a rooster crowed. And the servant girl saw him again and began to say to those who stood by, "This is one of them." But he denied it again. And a little later, those who stood by said to Peter again, "Surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean, and your speech shows it."
Then he began to curse and swear, I do not know this man of whom you speak. A second time the rooster crowed. Then Peter called to mind the word that Jesus had said to him, Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. And when he thought about it, he wept. Immediately in the morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council, and they bound Jesus, led him away, and delivered him to Pilate. Then Pilate asked him, Are you the king of the Jews? He answered and said to him, It is as you say. And the chief priests accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. Then Pilate asked him again, saying, Do you answer nothing? See how many things they testify against you? But Jesus still answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled. Now at the feast, he was accustomed to releasing one prisoner to them, whomever they requested. And there was one named Barabbas, who was chained with his fellow rebels. They had committed murder in the rebellion. Then the multitude, crying aloud, began to ask him to do just as he had always done for them. But Pilate answered them, saying, Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews? For he knew that the chief priests had handed him over because of envy. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd so that he should rather release Barabbas to them. Pilate answered and said to them again, What then do you want me to do with him whom you call the king of the Jews? So they cried out again, Crucify him. Then Pilate said to them, Why, what evil has he done? But they cried out all the more, Crucify him. So Pilate, wanting to gratify the crowd, released Barabbas to them, and he delivered Jesus, after he had scourged him, to be crucified. Then the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium, and they called together the whole garrison, and they clothed him with purple, and they twisted a crown of thorns, put it on his head, and began to salute him. Hail, King of the Jews! Then they struck him on the head with a reed and spat on him, and bowing the knee, they worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took the purple off him, put his own clothes on him, and led him out to crucify him. Then they compelled a certain man, Simon, a Cyrenian, the follower of Alexander and Rufus, as he was coming out of the country and passing by, to bear his cross. And they brought him to the place Golgotha, which is translated place of a skull. Then they gave him wine mingled with myrrh to drink, but he did not take it. And when they crucified him, they divided his garments, casting lots for them to determine what every man should take. Now it was the third hour, and they crucified him, and the inscription of his accusation was written above, The King of the Jews. With him they also crucified two robbers, one on his right and the other on his left. So the scripture was fulfilled, which says, And he was numbered with the transgressors. And those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads, and saying, Aha! You who destroyed the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross. Likewise, the chief priests also, mocking among themselves with the scribes, said, He saved others. Himself he cannot save. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. Even those who were crucified with him reviled him. Now when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is translated, my God, why have you forsaken me? Some of those who stood by when they heard that said, Look, he is calling for Elijah. Then someone ran and filled a sponge full of sour wine, put it on the a reed, offered it to him to drink, saying, "Let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come to take him down." And Jesus cried out with a loud voice and breathed his last. Then the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. So when the centurion who stood opposite him saw that he cried out like this and breathed his last, he said, "Truly this man was the Son of God." There were also women looking on from afar, among whom were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the Less and of Joses and Salome, who also followed him and ministered to him when he was in Galilee, and many other women who came up with him to Jerusalem. Now when evening had come, because it was the preparation day, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent council member who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, coming and taking courage, went into Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate marveled that he was already dead, and summoning the centurion, he asked him if he had been dead for some time. So when he found out from the centurion, he granted the body to Joseph. Then he bought fine linen, took him down, and wrapped him in the linen, and he laid him in a tomb which had been hewn out of the rock, and rolled a stone against the door of the tomb. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Amen. Hymn 121. We are seated.
Come see the saints and ponder
as the sands. I cause the woes unnumbered with which a soul is cumbered. Your sorrows raised by wicked hands. Your cords of love, my Savior, bind me to you forever. I am no longer bound. To you I gladly tender all that my life can render, and all I have to you resign.
Our sermon text is from Mark chapter 14, verses 45 and 46. As soon as he had come, immediately he went up to him and said to him, Rabbi, Rabbi, and kissed him. Then they laid their hands on him and took him. This is our text. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
At the beginning of chapter 14, St. Mark tells us that the high priest and the scribes, sitting on the Sanhedrin, were seeking a way to arrest and have Jesus killed. The text specifically says that they were not doing this in the open, but according to trickery. The religious authorities were worried that the general populace who liked Jesus would riot, so that they also planned to wait until the Passover festival was over, when the people had gone home. Now, Matthew's gospel tells us that this secret meeting was actually held in the private residence hall of Caiaphas and not in the usual place. So according to Mark, reckon this meeting happened on Tuesday evening of Holy Week. Now, as I mentioned yesterday, Jesus probably stayed at Lazarus' house in Bethany while attending the Passover festival in Jerusalem. John's gospel tells us that Jesus actually arrived in Bethany on the Friday before Palm Sunday. As the Sabbath had already begun, a meal was planned for after the Sabbath had ended. That would have been on Saturday evening. St. Mark tells us that Jesus was attending a banquet on that Saturday evening at the house of Simon the leper, right there in Bethany. Now, we don't know anything in particular about Simon. It would seem that Jesus had previously healed him of his leprosy. That's about it. It could be that Simon's house was, well, larger than Lazarus' house, and with all the people that are coming out to see Jesus and Lazarus, that is where they had the banquet, right there in Simon's home. Mark records that an anonymous woman anointed Jesus' head while he was reclining for the meal. Mark, whose gospel was written after Matthew's, and therefore quite early on of the four gospels, may have withheld Mary's name in order to prevent any hate to come upon her from the Jews. Although Mark says that some expressed indignation about her act, John lets us know that it was Judas who spoke up and that some of the others also agreed with him. 2 points are to be made. First, Jesus and his disciples were not those who dwelt in king's houses or wore soft clothing. Although Jesus normally did not wear expensive perfume, here he explains that it was appropriate because she was preparing him for his upcoming burial. Judas' complaint was not only a criticism of Mary, but also of Jesus, who shouldn't have allowed this to happen. The complaint was that it was frivolously wasted and for no purpose. Second, the expensive perfume should have been sold so that its value could have been given to the poor. When Jesus responds, both of Jesus' explanations relate directly to his death and burial. Frivolous? Yes, but not if it is an anointing for burial. Should we give to the poor? Well, yes, but considering I will be alive a few more days, it was a good decision. You see, first, Jesus defends Mary, saying, "Let her be." He does not defend himself. He defends her work, declaring that it to be excellent work of anointing his body for burial ahead of time. And more than that, Jesus says that her work will be remembered wherever the gospel is preached. Second, Jesus tells that thieving Judas that his time is short. When Jesus says that, well, they will not always have him, yeah, he says more than it appears. In 3 short days, he will be crucified and buried. These words of rebuke toward Judas could not have set well with him. Verse 10, which immediately follows, records Judas Iscariot going to the high priest in order to see how much money he could gain for handing Jesus over to them. Judas' concern for money is seen both in his criticism of Mary and now in his agreement to betray Jesus. Judas simply wants to know, how much will you give me? When Mark refers to Jesus, he tragically calls Judas one of the 12. Ouch. It was an inside job. Now, the arrangement of the place to celebrate the Passover is secured by Jesus, who sends 2 of his disciples to make preparation. However, it's all done in secrecy so that Judas will not know where they will be meeting. It would seem that Jesus finished up his teaching in the temple courts on Monday and Tuesday and did not return to Jerusalem on Wednesday, but instead remained in Bethany. And considering that the Sanhedrin had their meeting on Tuesday evening, it was fortuitous that Jesus was out of town on Wednesday. When Jesus does return to Jerusalem, it's on Thursday evening after darkness, to celebrate the Passover. Judas and the others, they don't know where they will be until they arrive. And Jesus is allowed to celebrate his Passover within the walls of Jerusalem, right under the nose of the Sanhedrin, and without any danger or distractions. During the meal, Jesus tries to turn Judas from his dastardly deed, and Jesus says to him, "Assuredly I say to you, one of you who eats with me will betray me." And a little later he says, "It is one of the 12 who dips with me in the dish." And then finally, Jesus speaks the opposite of a blessing, saying, "But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had never been born." But despite Jesus' warnings, Judas is so hardened that none of it turns him from his plan of deception and burial and betrayal. However, of most importance to today's sermon are Jesus' words in speaking, "The Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him." Just as it is written. I have not presented to you a chronology of the events solely to satisfy your curiosity. I've done it so you might see clearly that the evil plans of Judas and the devil who would enter into him, you would see and notice that these plans of deception and those of betrayal perfectly fit into a chronological time frame. If even one of those things were changed, it would have fallen apart. I mentioned at Sunday Bible class that God often thwarts the best laid plans of men. And yet, here things appear to happen according to their evil plans. Mark records Jesus' words, "The Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him." You see, our Heavenly Father works out all things for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Our God is not the author of evil, nor does he participate in evil ever. However, we see that Judas is not in control, nor is he able to thwart God's plan and purpose. The scriptures must be fulfilled. When we get to the garden and Judas arrived, Jesus does not hide or try to escape out of the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus walks right up to Judas and the multitude of soldiers, and there were probably around 200 of them, and a short kerfuffle with a soldier's ear being cut off and Jesus healing it. And then Jesus says, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to take me? I was daily with you in the temple teaching and you did not seize me, but the scriptures must be fulfilled." Again, Mark says it. Did you hear it? The scriptures must be fulfilled. Jesus exposes their hypocrisy. Of course he did nothing wrong, or they would have arrested him right there in the temple courtyard, maybe in the Palm Sunday procession, or Monday, or Tuesday. They've come here at night in order to keep their actions secret. Nevertheless, the reason that their actions will succeed is because the scriptures must be fulfilled. Our loving God is working out his plans, which he has revealed to us in his holy word. We need not worry that things are out of control. Even the plans of evil men will ultimately serve his holy purpose and will. They intended it for evil, but God will work it for the good. Through Jesus' passion, we receive forgiveness, salvation, and eternal life. No matter how bad things may look, our God is not rebuking us in his anger. He's not disciplining us in his wrath. He is doing us the greatest good. Psalm 35. It's used in today's tract. It gives us the prayer to pray when things appear to go wrongly. Verse 17, "Lord, how long will you look on? Rescue me from their destructions, my precious life from the lions." And then it also confidently gives us our response after God has answered our prayer. Verse 18, "I will give you thanks in the great assembly. I will praise you among many people." We need not worry. The suffering and death of Jesus Christ was all according to the Holy Scriptures. And furthermore, through faith in Jesus' atoning work, we have forgiveness of sins. As we pass through these last days, God will grant us grace to pass through it, and he will sustain us by the remission of our sins. God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. In him is salvation, life, and resurrection from the dead. By him we are redeemed and set at liberty. My dear Christian friends, the scripture must be fulfilled. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We stand for prayer. O Lord God, the Father of mercies, who has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his evil way and live, and who of thine infinite goodness did deliver up your only begotten Son unto death as a sacrifice for our sins, for his sake Remember not our ingratitude and indifference, but have mercy upon us and forgive us all our sins. As your dear Son was wounded for our transgression, and by his stripes we are healed, let us pray with true repentance and sincere faith. May we meditate upon his passion, that his death may be our life, his righteousness our salvation, his conflict our victory and everlasting peace. Replenish us with your Holy Spirit, that loving you with our whole heart, we may walk in thy ordinances blameless. Teach us to love one another, to bear one another's burdens, and so to fulfill the law of Christ, who came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and who gave his life as a ransom for many. Help us likewise to love our enemies, and from our hearts to forgive everyone his trespasses against us. Let us follow the example of our Savior in patiently enduring the trials and the afflictions of this present world, that having suffered with him, we may also be glorified with him. For his sake, hear all who cry unto you in sorrow and distress, and relieve them according to their several necessities. Bestow your blessing upon the ministry of reconciliation. May the preaching of the cross become a message of peace and a power of God unto the ends of the earth, that the nations that sit in darkness may be delivered from their sins and glorify your holy name with all your saints. Embolden the ministers of your word to preach in season and out of season Christ and him crucified, calling sinners to repentance and believers to rejoice in their salvation. May the death of your Son be our comfort in our last hour, and let us depart in peace to rise with him unto life everlasting. Amen. The offertory is found in your back of your blue bulletin.
Keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me from violent men who have purposed to make my steps stumble. The proud have hidden a snare for me and courts. They have spread a net by the wayside. They have set traps for me. I said to the Lord, you are my God. Hear the voice of my supplications, O Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord, our God.
It is good and right so to do.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. On the tree of the cross you gave salvation to mankind, that whence death arose, thence life also might rise again, and that he who by a tree once overcame, likewise by a tree might be overcome, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, Holy, Holy.
the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest.
Lord of heaven and earth, we praise and thank you for having had mercy on those whom you created, sending your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
O Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. O Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. O Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, grant us your peace.
May this sacrament, O Lord, we beseech thee, mercifully repair us. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
I will receive the bread of heaven and call upon the name of the Lord. Lord, I'm not worthy you should come under my roof, but only speak the word and my soul shall be healed. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was given for me, preserve my body and soul unto everlasting life. Amen. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and so shall I be saved from my enemies. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was shed for me, preserve my body and soul unto life everlasting. Amen. Come. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given into death for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given into death for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Take and eat the true body of Christ given for you. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of Christ shed for you. May this true body and blood strengthen and preserve you, body and soul, unto life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
What has passed our lips as food, O Lord, may we possess in purity of heart. What has given us in time be our healing for eternity. The communion psalm is on your blue bulletin.
Those who sit in the gates be against me, and I am the song of the drunkards. But as for me, my prayer is to you.
Nunc dimittis, without the Gloria Patri.
Lord, now let your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people. A light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good,
and his mercy endures forever.
Let us pray. May our vices be cured, O Almighty God, by thy holy mysteries, and may we receive everlasting remedies through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us pray. Bow down your heads before God. May your mercy, O God, purifying us from all deceits of our old nature, enable us to be formed anew unto holiness through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.